Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's Chad Bearden and you're listening to Weekdays with Murph.
I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the
face of... Hi listeners and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer-songwriter Andy Ross. We'll talk with Andy about his career, music, and anything he's working on that he can talk about. This is going to be fun. Now, before I bring Andy on, I have to give a big shout-out to my buddies over at Core PR, specifically my friend Anna, for helping to set this up today. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome the incredibly talented Mr. Andy Ross to the show. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Happy to be here, and I'm also an Anna fan, so that's good giving her a shout-out.
I've worked with Anna a few times in the past, and she's always been great, you know.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She does a great job over there at Burning Ground and Core, and she's really done a lot of good work for us. We really appreciate her.
Absolutely. So, before I get into what I had for you today, just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into the business in the first place.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for the opportunity. I've been very blessed to turn a lot of my passions into success. And, you know, really one adventure's just rolled into the next. I had a TV show for 10 years on outdoor TV called Maximum Archery World Tour. I bow hunted the world on outdoor TV, Sportsman's Channel, Pursuit Network, the Outdoor Channel. And, you know, we did a little music on the show. We thought it would be fun to do some music. I could play and write a little bit and wrote some hunting songs, Gotta Go Hunting Blues and, you know, Blood Trail on a Whitetail, Hunt Me Down. And really was just for fun. And the digital world came around and iTunes and file sharing. And next thing I knew, I had songs that were really getting some ears out there and some distribution and kind of going viral. And that just led into some other artists wanting to write with me, and Nashville took notice. And the next thing I knew, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, making a record. Proud to say we're working on our fourth record as we speak. And then I had a song called American Rebel in 2015, which became a patriotic anthem. And we decided to build a brand around it. We built a brand of products around it and worked real hard for many, many years to get that company going. And as of February of this year, we're now a publicly traded company on NASDAQ. So it started with a passion and kind of a hobby and turned into a serious show and turned into a music career and turned into a company. So just hard work, kept our head down and don't look up and preach our story and live our words.
Absolutely. I know you mentioned Nashville. Well, I'll be in Nashville this weekend, actually.
Well, what brings you to town?
The Josie Music Awards are in town, and I'm nominated.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, congratulations.
So, thank you. I'll be in town for that, and the good thing is I actually have family that lives about probably 20 minutes outside of the city, so I don't have to spend money in a hotel. I can just I can crash with my aunt.
Well, that's always good and bad, getting to stay with family. You know, I've lived here for about 14 years and absolutely love it. I kind of live in a high-rise downtown. I'm kind of in the middle of all that's going on here in Nashville, but I travel a lot. I'm on the road playing music a lot. I'm on the road for business a lot. I'm back in Kansas City. So I'm in town about 6 months out of the year and on the road about 6 months a year.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, Nashville is like my absolute favorite city in this world. I've been going back and forth to Nashville just to visit the city and see it grow, you know, or whatever. I've been going back and forth probably the last 20 or so years. So I'm pretty well averse in the goings on of Nashville.
Yeah, well, darn near a local. You've seen all this growth, and I was counting the other day out my window. I can count out my living room here. I can count 14 cranes out there that are all working in new construction out there. So it's growing like crazy around here.
That is crazy. Okay, so I did want to ask you this: if you weren't in the entertainment business at all, what would you be doing right now?
If I wasn't in the business that I am, what would I be doing right now? Well, you know, I do enjoy working with my hands. I love working with animals. I honestly, I never ever even thought about it because I've just been, I've just rolled into one thing after the next, and it just feels. It feels like if we just keep working hard and work on and follow our passions that we're, it's long hours and real tired at the end of the day, but at the same time, it don't really feel like work. We're building America's patriotic brand, and I consider it a privilege to get to do it. I'm not answering your question very well, and I apologize for that, but I just can't imagine doing anything else.
Oh, I totally get that. That's the same way with me and this podcast. I started this podcast 10 years ago with absolutely zero experience. And now we're over 600 episodes deep, and I'm loving every minute of it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, congratulations. I've heard about the podcast and listened to it a few times, and have enjoyed it very much, and I'm happy to be on it today.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and I'll tell you this right now, and I'll get to at the very end of the interview, but if there's ever anything that I can do for you, I don't care what it is, don't ever hesitate to reach out.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You can't have enough friends in this world. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely, 100%. I did want to ask you this too. If you could go back and change one thing about your career to this point, would you? And what would it be?
Wow, that's a great question. If I could go back and change things a little bit, I probably would have taken my education a little more seriously. Now, going back quite a few years. May not have done the TV show for quite as long as I did. I was traveling 7-8 months a year for 10 years and might have pulled that to the curb a little sooner. Would have probably tried to slow down and just enjoy things a little more. You know, I go back to the TV show. We did, as we've said, for 10 years. And, I mean, I bow hunted the world. We were in New Zealand and Mozambique and Zimbabwe and, of course, Mexico and the Yukon, Alaska, and all the great hunting states here in the United States. But we never slowed down to see any of it. I mean, we flew in. We'd get in a small plane, sometimes fly into a hunting camp, land on a river. Back to the major airport and out. And, to have been in places like New Zealand and places like that and not said, hey, why don't we take 2 or 3 days on the end of this thing and see some of this world. But we were focused and young and just headstrong to get to the next camp and get the next episode made. We could have probably slowed down a little bit.
I totally understand that. I mean, I'm the same type of person. I mean, I'm always looking forward to that next thing, that next interview or the next whatever it may be, that I'm the same way. I barely take time to slow down and smell the roses, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You just, I could name enough, I could name so many places I've been in my life that I think, you know, most people would say, wow, that's pretty amazing. You've been to all those places, but I probably couldn't sit down and you know, tell you 10 minutes a story or some of the sights I've seen, or you think I would have photo albums. And but, you know, we were just trying to you know, make 23 episodes, 13 episodes to 23 episodes a year. And we were just focused on getting to the next place and next place. But, you know, you can't look back. You can't have any regret. It was a blessing to get to do. You know, you don't know what other opportunity you might have missed had you done things different. So it's really hard to say I wish I would have done that and wish I would have done this, because I got to be honest, I'm pretty happy and excited about where I stand today. So if I'd have changed anything, I may not be standing here today, and I'm pretty fortunate to be here.
I get that completely. So this is always a pretty big question. I ask this to pretty much everybody. When everything's said and done with your career, 20, 30 years down the road, whenever that might be, what impact or legacy would you like to leave in the music industry?
Well, I'll answer that with two answers. First of all, on the company side, American Rebel, we're building America's patriotic brand. I would like to leave that legacy. I would like for America's patriotic brand to continue, you know, 50, 100 years after I'm gone, and be a lifestyle brand and be something that I, you know, that I'd be proud of to leave behind, that my kids would be proud of to say their dad founded that company. Music-wise, you know, I'm out there playing my brand of country, patriotic country rock and roll, and I've been able to get songs and stuff kind of on charts without much help, and playing songs that maybe don't fit into the normal top 40 country box. So to get a song that, you know, if you're not following the recipe, and make some serious noise with it, is quite an accomplishment. And at the end of my music career, like I said, we're recording the fourth album right now. You know, I'd like to leave a catalog of music behind that when someone plays it back and they hear it, they say, that's got to be Andy Ross. You know, I've never tried to come out and claim that I'm the most talented player or the most talented singer. You know, I would not win The Voice, I can promise you. But no one does Andy Ross songs like I do. And that's what I'm most proud of, is that I have a brand of music and a style of music, and, people dig it. People show up to see us live. They scream and holler and put their hands in the air, and they love it, and they love the music, and, it's uniquely me. So that's what I'm most proud of.
And I got a chance to check out some of your stuff recently, and dude, I love it, you know.
Well, thank you.
And I'm a sucker for music that has a good message, whether that's a patriotic message, whether that's a motivational message. I'm a sucker for that type of music.
Sure, a heartfelt message, a good motivational message, like you said. You know, you want music to move you, right? You want to listen to a song and say, I feel a little different, you know, right now than I did before the song came on. You want a movie, you know, if you go to the movies, you want a movie to move you. You want a sermon, if you go to a sermon at church, you want to be moved. If you listen to music, you want to be moved. You want to be, you know, make you excited, make you mad, make you happy, make you energetic, but you want to be moved. And music is a great tool to do that, and songs definitely have to provide that for you to be good songs, in my opinion. So I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. And And like I said, that's some of my favorite music, whether that's country, whether it's whether it's R&B, whether it's whatever genre music it is. If it's got a good uplifting message to it, I'm there for it, you know?
You bet. Yeah, I want something that's going to make me laugh, make me cry, make me smile, make my toes tap, but it better do something to me. That's
right.
What the song's supposed to do. It's supposed to touch you and pull on some heartstrings.
Right, exactly. And as a music fan, I'm pretty much all over the map with the stuff I like, as I mentioned earlier. I listen to country, I listen to rock, I listen to a little bit of pop, I listen to pretty much everything that you can think of. I mean, I say this all the time. I listen to anything once, twice if I like it.
Good point.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I grew up, you know, I had an older brother and an older sister. My sister's 5 years older than me and my brother's 6 years older than me. So when they were beginning to be teenagers, you know, I was 6 and 7 years old. And, you know, my friends at school were listening to, I don't know, the Partridge Family, and I was listening to Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles and Bob Seger and, because I listened to what my older brother and sister listened to, because they were, you know, they got to control the record player in the house. So I got to listen to a lot of great music maybe earlier than a lot of my friends that didn't have much older brothers and sisters. And I kind of grew up with that. I love the Black Crowes. I love I love country. More of the classic country probably fits me a little better. I'm a little older. You know, I will say that... you know, now rap music, that's kind of like a good candy bar. You open it up and eat the candy bar and throw away the wrapper. But that's just my opinion.
Fair point. That's fair. All that music you mentioned earlier, like Fleetwood Mac, people like the Eagles and all that stuff, I'm a huge fan of that era. 70s music, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, right there. I'm right there with you. If I had to pick one, I sure wouldn't want to have to just pick one, but if I was limited to one for some reason, that would be my era. Bob Seger, Hart, Fleetwood Mac, all the stuff that came out of that era, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I mean, I grew up in a house where like you said, music was literally everywhere. I joke all the time. I say, if there's ever a day that music is not playing in this house, something's wrong with me.
Yep. Well. There's no reason it shouldn't. I'd much rather have the music going than have the TV squawking in the background, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm the same way. A TV?
You know, that was the cool... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, TV, I can take or leave the TV. I mean, it's barely on at my house. So I totally get that.
Yeah. Now, the thing that was really cool, I don't know... you know, what generation you grew up in, but when I was a young teenager, MTV came out, back when it used to be all music videos. And that was, even though they played a lot of the same videos repetitively, you know, over and over throughout the day, that was kind of the cool thing about MTV, was you could turn it on and then you could just do whatever you wanted to do, and you had it playing in the background. And if a new video or one of your favorite videos came on, you know, you could stop what you were doing and check it out. But it was great, great background, you know, for your day to have that going. It was pretty cool when it first came out. Of course, we'd never seen anything like it, right? So to get to see these rock and roll stars, like, I mean, before music video and before the internet, you know, you didn't even really know what they looked like except the occasional, you know, monthly magazine that was at the, you know, on the rack at the grocery store and a couple still pictures. But to be able to, you know, to see what they, to see what everybody looked like without actually going to the concert in the beginning was really cool. Of course, now I'm talking pre-internet and people are probably listening going, what are these old guys talking about?
Oh, trust me. I was born in the late 80s. So I know what you're talking about. Trust me. I understand.
Yeah.
I grew up a 90s music fan, and to me the 70s and the 90s, two of the best best music periods ever.
You know, the 90s, it's funny you say that because the 80s, you know, the 80s got really far away from the 70s with kind of the hair band stuff. I mean, it was really different. Mm-hmm. And the 90s kind of reeled back in. It's funny you say that the 70s and the 90s, because a lot of that 90s music was really influenced more from the 70s than it was the 80s. The 80s kind of went out there a ways. And that, you know, some of that early 90s music. And then you had the grunge scene, of course, which was something completely different as well. But it was, it was really good to see music come around there. I liked it all. I liked the 80s. I liked the hair bands. I liked the 70s. I liked the grunge. You know, I mean, everything that they were feeding us back then. Some I liked better than others, but I liked it all.
I've got a couple more questions for you. Then I think we're gonna let you go and let you get back to your day. But professionally speaking, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Professionally speaking, best thing that's ever happened to me. Professionally, now we're not talking kids and things like that. We're talking professional. I would have to say, looking back, especially in the last 15 years, I was in Nashville. I wasn't living here, and I was at a bar here in town called Losers, and the Davison brothers were in there. They'd celebrated their new album. They'd finished their new album, and they were out celebrating, and they had a producer with them. Who's not a big stay out guy, but he will go for one or two with you, if there's a good reason. And his name was Doug Grau, and he was their producer. And they wanted to write with me. They were big fans of my show, and they really, you know, they were excited to meet me, and I was excited to meet them. I mean, it was really a fun night. But they wanted to write, and when we wrote one, they said, why don't you let our producer, Doug Grau, record it? Let him help you in the studio. And I did. And then Doug later thought maybe we should go ahead and make a record because the music started getting a lot of traction on iTunes and stuff. So Doug asked me to come back, make a record. And then we decided to build a brand around our music. And I became the CEO and he became the president. We were both founders. And he's been my partner and a big, big part of my both with my music and my business. So, you know, for the last 12 plus years. So I would have to say that the question was something that really big and important happened to me professionally. It was probably the day I met Doug Grau, and he decided to help me chase my American dream.
Nice. Now, I know you said you're in the process of working on your fourth album. Do we have a release date yet, or is that still being talked about?
Does it have a what?
A release date, or is that still being talked about?
Yeah, you know, the things really things have really changed here. It used to be you would finish an album and you would release the album and then you would start releasing singles off the album. Now what everybody's doing is they'll finish a song or two on the album and release a single while they're still working on the album. And by the time the whole album comes out, you may have already released two or three singles off of it. They call it the waterfall effect. And because you're just dripping out, you know, songs as you're finishing the album. But as far as the whole album being completed and done, I would say somewhere between somewhere around March.
Okay, nice.
We've already released All American Heart off of the album.
Uh-huh. I'm looking forward to that, and I'll definitely check that out.
Perfect.
One more question, and I think we're going to wrap things up. Is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to discuss?
You know, I would like to encourage everyone who, you know, to put their head down and chase their American dream, whatever that is, if that's in cooking or being the best grandma you can be, or making a song, or having a podcast, or being a good coach for a little league team, whatever it is that makes you happy, pursue it. And I'm a man of faith, so if you happen to are a person of faith, it's always good to get up and get your week started right with maybe a good church service. But chase your American dream, be the best you can. Don't think for 2 seconds that a smile and a hug doesn't go a long way with a lot of people, and be kind, and be too blessed to be stressed and too grateful to be hateful.
I love it. This has been fun. I thank you again for doing this today.
I'm happy that I'll be back anytime. You let Anna know and you can count on me. I'll be there.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, you're more than welcome back anytime.
Perfect. Well, I hope I'm back soon, and you keep up the good work, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right, buddy. I'll let you go and let you get about your evening, but thank you again for doing this. This has been fun.
It's been my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the super talented Mr. Andy Ross. As I alluded to earlier, for the first time in 2 years, your boy's going to Nashville this weekend. And I am so beyond excited, I cannot wait. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I did want to mention, too, before I get out of here, that yes, I am working on something for next week. And as soon as I know something, you'll know it on social media. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.